Moment by moment I'm kept in His law. Moment by moment I life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am Thine. Never of weakness that He doth not feel, never a sickness that He cannot heal. Moment by moment, in woe or in weal, Jesus, my Savior, abides with me still. Moment by moment, I'm left in His love. Moment by moment, I'm left from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am Thine.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good singing. You may be seated. Appreciate again that we're in the Lord's house here after revival. Let's open our Bible to two places. Psalms 150 and also Genesis chapter 1. Psalms 150. We had started reading again through these praise psalms. I think we finished reading through the praise psalms. And I want that we would do that again today. And then Genesis chapter 1. I wrote a dissertation several years ago. And someone said, whatever you do, never preach a dissertation. So I'm not going to preach it. I'm not going to read it, but I am going to preach it. I did read it again, started reading it this past week, and enjoyed it immensely. But that's because I like what I understand what I wrote again. That makes one of us sometimes. But what a blessing. And so we want to look at the 6-day creation account. While Brother Mike was here, he did mention several churches that started a downward trend. And he started that introduction with each one of them that they first left off believing in a 6-day creation account. Isn't that curious? Again, there's a modernist ecumenical Bible that drives in that direction, certainly. But we want to just emphasize the fact that God created the world in 6 days because He said so. And He says what He means, and He means what He says. So let's go ahead and start. We'll read Psalm 150 and then jump back to the first 5 verses of Genesis chapter 1. Psalms 150 in your Bible. Let's stand and praise Him together in Psalm 150. And let's read this aloud and together. The psalmist says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Appreciate that song. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 1. And if you'd follow along as I would read the account of the first day of creation. Genesis chapter 1, you follow as I'd read. In the beginning, God created the heaven, that's singular, the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Father, praise you for your word. We want to come to this portion of Scripture. Tell you right up front that we love you and we believe you and we believe every word of truth that you've given us here. And I pray again that you'd help our heart, that we'd be settled on that fact, and we'll give you all the praise even this morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Hold your Bible. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open there to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll go back there. But flip over to Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Was that like the fifth book in our Bible? Deuteronomy 29, 29. I trust if you've been around here, 23 years I've been here. If you've been around here a while, again, then you have this verse underlined or highlighted or circled. If not, then you can compensate for that this morning a little bit. Deuteronomy 29:29. This verse will help you again. And it says this: the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I've written in the margin of my Bible, Revelation. Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is given in 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. They are verbally inspired, which means every word is straight from God. They are inerrant. They are, again, infallible. Inerrant means they do not err, they cannot err, they will not lead you into error. Infallible means that they will not fail, they cannot fail. Even Jesus said again that his words, every down to the dot and tittle, which is two little Hebrew marks in the Hebrew lettering, will not fail, but will come to pass. And so we have that assurance. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for... Well, we better look that up, I suppose. I don't want to misquote that one. And I didn't write it in my notes. I don't know what I'm doing here yet. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I forgot the four things it was profitable for. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration is a curious word. It was made up by the translators. There was no word inspiration until they said, we need some kind of word that expresses what is in this phrase here. In the Hebrew, it means God breathed. It means breathed out. And so they developed this word. Is it okay to make up words? If you're translating the English Bible in 1611, you have every right to make up words. They also made up these and thous and all the other different parts of speech so that they could give us an exact duplicate of God's word. All the words that modernists want to strip out of your Bible were made. In fact, you pick up any modernist Bible translation, NIV, ESV, any other V that you got, and it will not have the word inspiration in it. They said that's a made-up word. That's exactly right. All right, let me start again. All Scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed it into men, came out their pen, the very word. All Scripture is given by inspiration. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's kind of like for doctrine, what is truth, for reproof, how to get back to, or how to get truth, and then for correction, how to stay on the truth, for instruction, how to teach truth in righteousness. Then it says, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so what we're going to do in Genesis chapter 1 is I want to go and start right here at the beginning and look at what you're to do as a Bible believer who believes in verbal inspiration. We believe every word that I read there, including the first day, okay? The evening and the morning were the first billion years. No, it doesn't say that. He could have said that if he meant that. It's the first million years. No, it doesn't say that. It was the first day is what he said. And so we want to look at this just a little short portion of Scripture and learn some things that God has revealed to us about this creation. And again, saints of the Old Testament believed every word of this. Moses, as we understand it, gave dictation to write this down exactly as it is. I believe that Adam and Eve and all the saints before the flood had copies of this. I think Noah had, again, enough copies or understanding of the Scripture to understand that in the beginning God created. I got a walking stick running around here someplace. I didn't bring it today. On the side it has the three Hebrew words of the Bible, which is in the beginning God. And boy, if anything needs emphasis in the day and age that we live in, it is that phrase right there. If you have a pen from our church and look at it, it has this inscription on it. In the beginning, God. I love that phrase again. Did we find it? Some of them, okay. Depends on how old your pen is, I suppose. And so again, in the beginning, God's important. And again, it's a milestone. It's an important spot, again, that we're going to stand on here. God created the heaven and the earth. And so I think I got to back up one more page to get into my notes. Yes, Genesis 1:1-5, we looked at God created the universe out of nothing. Can you believe that? Listen, Abraham believed it, but he couldn't understand it, I don't believe, until we understand a little bit what Adam is. We understand a little bit more. I mean, the knowledge that man has grown over the years to where we understand that mass matter that God created is made out of nothing. And we could go down and break through all the atomic structures of it and understand that, hey, there's nothing to it. It's just energy. And so again, when I look at that, I stand in awe that now we can understand this. Now we can prove it by what we understand in science. And listen, science always proves God true. If God is true and we believe every word of this, science will always verify it and prove it true. The Bible's infallible, and it will not lead us into error. Evidence is overwhelming for the creation and for the flood, the world flood of this world. People believe what they want to believe. The 17th century Francisco Redi took two bowls of meat and set them out on the table. Scientists of that day believed again that spontaneous generation of life was certainly possible. They believed that out of nothing life could spring. And that's the first steps of their evolutionary theory that began in Egypt, by the way, thousands of years earlier. Where did the world come from? Well, it just evolved here naturally. And so again, already he took a screen and put it over, and they set two pots of meat out and said, I'll put a screen over one of them. And pretty soon, this pot that was left in the sunshine started growing. Maggots started growing in it. Said, see, spontaneous generation of life. And the spot that didn't have it, or had the screen over it, had no spontaneous generation of life. Well, isn't that curious? Listen, that's what the science of the day said. And again, the science of the day is always just that, science of the day. Timothy calls it, or Paul calls it to Timothy, science so called. And I like that abbreviation with it. I stuck that on Fuji ever since he first started talking, when he said, I am science. No, you're science, so-called, again. And so, again, understand that what they have as science is not scientific. And so, even those that saw that, wow, if you send sunlight through a screen, it somehow prevents spontaneous generation of life in meat. And it took another whole generation to figure out, no, it's because the flies didn't land on the thing, you idiots. And so again, to understand that your people are going to believe pretty much what they want to believe. That's more so true on flood evidence. I said I wouldn't do this, but I want to go ahead and read a section from my dissertation. It says this: the believer looks at a large canyon and sees where water rapidly run off after God's world flood. The atheistic evolutionist sees millions of years of natural erosion. The believer walks through 2 Mile Gorge in Watkins Glen, New York, and sees the sheer face of rock that was split asunder when God broke up the foundations of the deep. The atheistic evolutionist considers Sir Charles Lyell's theory of uniformity and sees only millions and millions of years of layers and layers of rock, which must have stacked up one upon another. The believer considers evidence that a continental glacier once stood above the Finger Lakes of upstate New York and supposes that it was left over after God's world flood. The atheistic evolutionist knows for certain that there was an ice age during the Pliocene age of the Earth 2.5 million years ago. Listen, my dissertation is not going to convince any atheist. I don't think anyone would read it. I think very few Christians would read it, but just the same, understand this, that hey, their mind is made up. And they will not be changed with the facts. And so again, what we're looking at here is the evidences, the science evidences that demonstrate and prove that God knows what he's talking about. And he hasn't given us all the answers, as we read in Deuteronomy. But he has given enough answers so that we'd understand a few things. And so again, understand that with that we don't have all understanding. But when we read this, there's enough here so that we could understand what God is saying and look at the emphasis of this first day of creation. In the beginning, and that is time. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, there is a time continuum in this world, and there it is in this verse. In the beginning, God. There is a creator of this earth. There is one that causes all, the cause of all things, again, is here. God created, and again, the ex nihilo in the Hebrew, again, explains that that means he created it out of nothing. There was nothing, God spoke, and it was created. And he created, the verse says, the heaven, that's singular. And that doesn't mean where the birds fly. That doesn't mean where the stars are. It means space. He created a space. And so in this first verse, you've got three things that are created. First, we saw time. Then we see space. And the third is, and the earth, and that is matter. Time, space, and matter. If it'll help you, rather than calling earth, sometimes when people read the word earth, they picture a planet. That's not a planet with a capital E, Earth. What that is dirt in the Hebrew. He created dirt, as it were. And a better understanding of that is he created matter. And so here we are in the beginning, and this is the very beginning of creation. Before there was nothing, and we don't understand before, and we don't understand the nothing, but there was nothing. And to understand that God created time, he created space, and he created matter. Kat Hovind, who was long a hero of mine, on explaining some of this creation stuff, went through a whole scenario that if he created space, what good was it if he had nothing to put into it? If he created time, so what difference does that make? And so these three are dependent on each other. You have to have time to have space to have matter. And so he created three continuum together in this verse. Further, time is three-dimensional. Eh? Past, present, and future. Space is three-dimensional. If you hold your fingers like this, if you hold your finger like this, that's how we do in electronics, the right-hand rule or the left-hand rule. You notice again that you're pointing in three different directions. Your thumb should be pointing up, and so we have an up. Your forefinger's pointing north, and your left hand. And your biggest finger is pointed east. And so those are the three dimensions of space. Space is three-dimensional. If you cut off this, again, you have a two-dimensional picture. You can fit that on a piece of paper. If you cut it here, again, you have a two-dimensional, and that's two-dimensional. So we have a three-dimensional world. And then space is three-dimensional. And then lastly, matter was made, and it lives in a three-dimensional world. What are the three dimensions of matter, you suppose? Yeah. Solid, liquid, and gas, praise the Lord. Three different forms of matter. They used to consider flame a separate one. And I forgot who I was with. I think it was Micah was down. We were sitting watching a fire burn, and we discussed the philosophy of four types of matter because we don't know what flame is. Is that a liquid? Is that anyway? So again, we have matter that was created. Let's look at verse 2. And the earth was without form. Remember, I said that earth was dirt. It's not a ball yet. It's not. It's without form. And so it's not in the form of a ball. It's not in the form of a planet. It's just mass. And that mass was without form. And so without form is probably bigger than you and I understand. When you have molecules start coming together, that starts to have form. And so again, this says it was without form. And so maybe it was atoms, but particles. We're not sure, again, what this was. But understand, it's not a pre-made earth. And there's no planet involved in this verse yet. And the earth was void. That means it was empty. That means it had no visible product in it. The earth was void. And so it was not ground. It was not a planet. It was just matter. And just matter. It was empty. It was not occupied with any visible matter as a void space. Then look at this next line. It says, And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Stop and think. Darkness is the absence of light. You can't have darkness per se. You can't build darkness, but you can have absence of light. You close out all light and you have darkness. And Einstein, again, is attributed with coming up some genius statements about darkness being the absence of light. So darkness was on the face of the deep. That expression, the face of the deep. Now think again about what we're trying to understand here and what God is trying to explain is time and space and matter in the continuum. Matter is consistent of atoms and molecules and again, the energy that's involved of putting matter together is a big deal. And so, as we understand that, again, he's given us an explanation as best he can give it here to our mind that barely grasps some of these things. And here it says that darkness was on the face of the deep, just to understand that the deep was deep. Okay? It is, again, a mass that contains everything that's presently in our universe was there in that mass. And so again, as we understand that a little better, we can understand that that deep doesn't mean any secret meaning of spiritual insights. It's the fact that it was very, very extensive. And then it says this, and the Spirit of God. There is a Trinity that's going to be taught more thoroughly in the Bible. But again, as we look at it, here it shows up. We see in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and that is the Son of God, as you read on in that chapter, and find out that He is the Creator here. And so He is present. God the Father is present. Here's the Spirit that moves on the face of the waters in verse 2. In verse 3, and God said, don't separate verse 2 from verse 3 very far. The Spirit moving on the face of the waters is kind of what initiates the presence of light. And so God said here in this verse, let there be light. And there was light. Some genius scholars who believed that the world had to be millions of years old because the scientists said so, they come up with some other ideas about these verses. And they come up with just a whole scenario of fiction. So be careful what you read in Bible commentaries. Because if you have a Scofield Bible, I love my Scofield Bible. I've had it and studied it for 50 years. I know where everything is on a page. I've memorized most of his notes. But again, all of his notes about Genesis 1 and 2 I've thrown in the trash can. And so again, be careful of commentaries here when you're reading this. But verse 2 and verse 3 are connected. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. In other words, it was the moving of God on the face of the waters. And notice, first off, back in that connection, that this earth was called waters. And so we have an indication that there was molecular stuff going on here. We have H2O, two hydrogen atoms, connected to one oxygen atom, produces what we have as water. Carbon dioxide, two oxygens connected to one carbon, produces carbon dioxide, naturally a gas that the modernists are terrified of. And so again, understand here that God created here these things, and they're in a form of a mass, and don't miss what this mass is. When God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is a creation of energy. Anybody know who Roy G. Biv is? Anybody met Roy G. Biv? Okay, that's your rainbow. As you watch around, a lot of times in all these storms going around, we'll see lots of rainbows. We saw a rainbow that didn't arch across the sky. It just kind of huddled over next to a mountain. It's like it was scared to come out because the weather was so bad. And so a rainbow, again, we see a rainbow, and you should automatically think of Roy G. Biv. Over here is a bunch of infrared energy. God created that when He created light. It's just that you can't see it. Our eyes can't see infrared. And it goes beyond that through microwaves and all the way out there to all kinds of radio energy, as we call it. But those were created in that statement right there. And then we come to some visible light, which is red for Roy. Red, orange, yellow. Capital R for red. Red, orange, yellow. Capital G for green. And then capital B for Biv. Blue, indigo, and violet. Count the types of colors. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 7 divisions. You watch in creation how many divisions of 7 there are. There's 7 types of life. Ken plays chess on Fridays, getting suspended. There's kingdom, phylum, class, genus, order, species. It's divided into sevens again. And so again, that's because our universe is divided into sevens and threes. Magic numbers in the Bible. No. Stop with the magic, okay? There's no magic there. But there is a significance to those numbers. And so again, we have seven divisions of light, and then we hit purple or violet, and there is no purple. Anyone ever notice that? And then you step off into the ultraviolet, and now here's another whole series of lights that you cannot see. And so, again, spread around there is the UHF. Have we heard of UHF? Ultra high frequency, okay? And VHF, very high frequency. And all of the radio spectrum of waves, that's all created here in this one little statement that says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Again, where does light come from? Here we say, oh, I couldn't have been. There was no sunshine. How did they get light with no sunshine? Listen, light comes out of matter. When you energize matter, you get light. When you send electricity through a little tungsten filament in a vacuum, it glows with light. And so where does that come from? That light comes from matter. And so God moved upon the face of matter and created light. Whatever he did on that matter caused again that, hey, from now on, there'll be a reaction inside of matter and light will be available to man. Light will be upon inside of this universe. God created light. Verse 4 says, I probably didn't say all I want to say about mass and matter and atoms and molecules and where light is generated inside of them. And the fact, again, that photons... Anyone ever heard of a photon? A photon is a particle. No, it's not a particle. Yes, it is a particle. No, it's not a particle. A photon is a mass that gets moving so fast that it stops being mass and it starts being energy. It turns into light. And so we have this idea that photons and light are the same thing. A photon is a piece of mass that's moving so fast at the speed of light that it turns from mass into energy. When I wrote my dissertation, I spent some time here. We're just going to skip over that now. Again, to understand that we don't know pretty much the difference between light and or mass and energy. In fact, Einstein put together a little equation, and you all know the equation. It says E, energy, equals mc squared, speed of light squared. And so if you take mass and multiply it times the speed of light, you end up with all the units again that come with the energy that we find today. And so these are all related together. Now, God didn't spell all that out in these verses. It was stuff that wasn't need to be known. But listen, now that we do know it, it ought to excite your soul to be able to read your Bible and understand that a black hole is not a black hole, and that light is not energy or is not mass, but it's made of mass, and mass is not energy of light, but it's made of energy, and that was all proven, a lot of it by Albert Einstein and some of the works that he did. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So when God saw the light, that it was good, trust me, we don't know how good it is. We barely can scrape the understanding of light and energy and its relationship. And we can only see a little portion of the visible light that God created, but he said it was good, and it was good. Same verse, and God divided the light from the darkness. When I break all this down and look at it, I remember ever since I was a teenager looking at this, I'm thinking, of course you divided the light from darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. And so that's not put in there to give us a better understanding of life. It's put in there to give you a better understanding of the next verse. Look at the next verse. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the night, and the darkness he called night. And so again, notice again, we have a division here. Now there's no earth, planet. There's no planet earth at this point. All we have is mass, and then it's been energized into light. God created all that. And listen, that's the end of the first day. And that's all he created on the first day. But he wants to clarify for our small minds that we'd understand this, that there's a day and night coming up in a few days. And right now, this is all that was made on the first day. And the Bible says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And notice again that that's how God counts days. That's how Jewish count days to this very day. If you look at a Jewish calendar, it's got a huge number for the year. That's the year that they consider since creation. And then it's got, again, all of their days begin when? Sunset. When the sun goes down, usually 6 o'clock. And so again, at 6 o'clock, the sun goes down. And then that's considered the end of the day. And the beginning of a new day starts right then. And so the evening and the morning, just like God said it here, that's what they do for our days, for their days, and we don't. And verse 6 says, and God said, whoa, you have to come back next week, and we're going to look into the firmament. Right now, all we got is mass and space and time continuums, and God throws into that an energy that we can now understand. Let me give you again a little bit of John 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me turn you to John 1:1. Let's look at it in person. It's just in front of John 3:16, by the way. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word, capital W, was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You read on in this study of light and darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, ye were sometimes darkness. Talking about what you were before you got saved. Ephesians chapter 1 comes before Ephesians chapter 2, where you were quickened and when you got saved. But in Ephesians chapter 1, it doesn't say you were in darkness. It doesn't say little Eddie Rice back in 1960 was in darkness. It says he was darkness. And we were darkness. And now we are light. Was darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What a tremendous thought. And so again, we were of our father the devil, but when we got saved, we became sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, children of God. And we be turned from being darkness to being light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your Father. And boy, we again want to just learn some things from the creation account. Father, praise you. Father, we love you. We thank you for a few verses here, and we know how they've been twisted and contrived by the world that doesn't want to believe in a creator and has taken every avenue to get away from what you said here. I pray that you'd be with us as believers. that we'd not wrestle with your words, but that we'd be content, Father, to trust you, that you've given us all the information you need about this creation. As we walk through the next 2 days of your creation, I pray again that you bless us richly, that we'd again see again our faith in you is far superior than anything this world has, anything our school system and environment is teaching young people today. Father, may we again just rejoice in the fact that in the beginning you created. And we'll praise you and thank you for even making that a theme of our thoughts this week. May they be thoughts about your Son and our Savior. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. I wanted to close with a song that said, I don't believe in evolution, I know creation's true. I believe that God above created me and you. But I couldn't find the words of it, so let's stand. And boy, it's good to be saved. It's good to have a Bible that we can trust and believe. And let's just close with a thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Lord, bless you as you walk into a new week.